Well, what a week. I feel like it's sort of an accomplishment to be here with you. I don't know if you feel that way about being here Sunday morning, a little bit of a victory. This past week into weekend, many of us have been in emergency mode. Monday brought up to 9 inches of wet, heavy snow across the region, and this alone brought down trees and power lines. And then Tuesday brought sleet, freezing rain, and ice to go on top of that snow, leaving thousands of us, perhaps a million people, in the region without power. How many of you are maybe feeling just a little bit off center, off your game a little bit by what's been going on? Yeah, vast majority of us. I know I am. We lost power at our home on Wednesday morning, which I think when power went out across the area. And we live, my husband and our son and I live in graduate student housing. And the university encouraged us to shelter in the university gymnasium while we waited for power to be restored. Not exactly the most ideal conditions for a family with a newborn. So instead, we took refuge at a friend's house for a couple of nights along with some other friends who had lost power. And though we were back home by Friday morning, it still feels like I'm recovering a little bit from all the upheaval in our routine. These kinds of storms and severe weather patterns are becoming more and more regular, a regular part of our lives, it seems. In our region, we had Hurricane Sandy last year, and days of sub-zero temperatures and debilitating snow and ice this year. All around the country, people are enduring these kinds of disruptive weather-related emergencies. The southern region of the country, for example, was brought to a standstill just a couple of weeks ago by a once-in-a-decade winter storm that left school children stranded in their schools overnight. That's how bad this storm was. And of course, we know that around the world, people continue to face the devastating effects of not just increased precipitation, but of droughts and earthquakes. These weather-induced emergencies can cause upheaval and chaos in our lives, taking away the things that we have come to depend on to create some normalcy, like electricity, and disrupting our normal daily routines. This past week has served as a reminder to me, and perhaps it has to you, of just how important it is to be able to find our center when life gets chaotic. Because it's not just winter storms that can disrupt the balance of things and throw us off center. We experience any number of challenges in the course of our lives. Suffering an unexpected physical ailment, losing a job, dealing with painful relationships. These are storms of life that, like the storms of this week, can leave us feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and off center. So how is it that we regain a sense of balance and find, figuratively speaking, shelter in the storm? Certainly one way we find shelter in the storm is through our relationships with others, with each other. In the kind of circumstances we faced this past week, the help and assistance of others is crucial to regaining some normalcy in our lives, and the value of our connections and our community become more apparent than ever. And the same is true when we face other kinds of life challenges. Reaching out and seeking help contribute to our sense of balance and well-being. This is why here at USG we emphasize that we are a caring community and that we offer each other help in times of need. Yet while community can offer us support when we need it, our time in relationship with others needs to be balanced with the time we take for ourselves. As Mae Sarton points out, we can begin to feel depleted if we do not take time alone to mull over or reflect on our experiences with others. For some of us, perhaps those who tend even more towards the side of introversion, this feeling of depletion comes more quickly, while those on the more extroverted side may actually thrive on the time spent in the company of others. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, we all need some time away from the company of others to be with ourselves, to make space for that inner companion of our souls. What we seek in connecting to each other through community, a sense of wholeness and well-being, is also what we seek in solitude. Solitude is an essential way for us as spiritual beings to find or regain our internal sense of balance, centeredness, and wholeness in times of difficulty and trouble. In solitude, we refuel our spiritual engines, bringing up our reserves of balance and centeredness for times when life brings us the hard stuff. This time for inward attention, however, is not always easy to come by. As I was preparing to return to the pulpit this month, I checked on what our theme was going to be, and upon discovering it was solitude, I took one look at my new constant companion, our newborn baby, and laughed out loud at the irony of that theme. There are many demands on our time and attention that make solitude a challenge, whether it be small children at home, grown children out of the home, our jobs, important volunteer work. With a busy schedule and vast responsibilities in the home and outside of it, it may seem like you hardly get a moment to yourself. The challenge in turning inward and making space for solitude is not only a matter of lack of time. We can also shy away from moments of solitude because of the discomfort, the pain, and the sadness we might feel in being alone. The comedian Louis C.K. was recently on the Conan O'Brien show, and he quite eloquently and humorously spoke to this discomfort and why he hates cell phones. He said, "You need to build an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what phones are taking away. The ability to just sit there and be like this. That's being a person, isn't it?" he says. And he continues, "Underneath everything in your life, there's that thing, that forever empty thing." And he points out that we're constantly running away from that thing. We just can't stand to be alone. We take our phones with us everywhere, afraid to be left alone. I'm certainly guilty of carrying my phone with me almost everywhere. I don't, in fact, happen to have it on my pocket. I usually do, and I switched to wearing a watch, so I don't have it anymore. But I usually carry it around and pull it out during idle moments, checking to see if anyone has texted me or left me a voicemail message, sent me a message on Facebook. There are certainly quite meaningful ways that we connect with others using technology. However, as Louis C.K. points out, too often we use these avenues to run away from our loneliness. The scariest thing may be that when we are present to ourselves without distraction, we don't always know what we'll find. We may discover that forever empty thing and feel sad and lonely as a result. Solitude, however, isn't just about being alone. Often when we think of solitude, we envision silent retreats and monasteries and serene natural environments without any human beings in it. The lone figure standing at the summit of a mountain, or the monk or nun sitting in meditation all day long. It is quite possible, in fact, to be alone, but not in solitude. Like when we are by ourselves and instinctively reaching for our cell phone, or when we're simply alone and can't get our mind off of future plans. The Quaker writer and educator Parker Palmer speaks to this quality of solitude. He says that solitude does not necessarily mean living apart from others. Rather, it means never living apart from oneself. It is not about the absence of other people. It is about being fully present to ourselves, whether or not we are with others. So solitude need not be some far-off, only-to-be-hoped-for state of spiritual bliss reserved for those who intentionally live alone. The state of being fully present to ourselves can be an everyday aspect of our lives. We can be fully present to ourselves while we are in the company of others, and also during designated periods of alone time. For me, the morning has always been a time during the day when I can be especially present to myself. My routine for some time has been to greet the rising sun, usually while feeding the cat and washing up any dishes left over from the night before, and then to sit down for a few minutes of meditation and journaling. This particular routine has been a little bit harder to follow with a newborn baby around. So now, usually the baby comes along for the greeting of the sun and the feeding of the cat and the washing of the dishes, and I just skip the sitting in meditation for a few minutes and instead gaze out the window and just simply be present to myself. Making space for solitude requires some intention and practice, especially with all of the demands on our time and attention. But it can also be that simple. For you, solitude might be found while walking the dog around the neighborhood and leaving the phone behind, or while driving the kids to school and turning off the radio and finding just a few moments to touch base with your own thoughts and feelings, or during the course of the day, just taking a moment to breathe deeply, to stretch your limbs out. In the practice of solitude, I invite us to take a moment, another moment. I know we've had a meditation, but to take another moment to be present to ourselves, to sit in some stillness after this chaotic week, and perhaps to reflect on how we can make space for solitude for ourselves in the next few days. So I invite you into just a few moments of solitude. In these moments, we can offer ourselves the gift of total presence, to feel the forever empty thing, if that's what is there for you today, or to feel gratitude and joy. We can notice those parts of our innermost thoughts and feelings that are below the surface, waiting to be discovered and nurtured. As we allow the space to be fully present to ourselves, we are more able to follow that road of conversion that Henri Nouwen talks about, that road from loneliness to solitude that allows us to respect others and their uniqueness and to create community. And in that community, to offer each other love, care, and compassion. There will be many more storms coming our way, literal and figurative. May we prepare ourselves to be a shelter and a refuge to our own souls and to our beloved community. May it be so. Blessed be.